It is Friday, the 27th of February, and the year is 2026. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. It's a day after the tabling of the budget. So how are you feeling now, knowing how much actually will be in our national wallet? How are you feeling? How are you doing? So what are your, how you think about it? Okay. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? What are you happy with, our national financial planning? So that's what we're going to look at this morning. My name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making the headlines. So we keep it clear and always, always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what people or what other people are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headline with me and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. You are just right on time. And today we will start with our interview. That's the first thing that we're going to do. As much as so, we will try as early as this possible to get to our guest, our first guest. Okay, stay tuned. We will try to get to contact our first guest to discuss this very important topic today, the national budget. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back in a second.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha with the Kirotabuna in Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafa and Anna Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana. Here, Moyawa, or Tango got Samuel. Anna Gashifa, Yanamibia, Omjo John Banawa, Omjika. Faith and Nina Omeguro, Niranitoma, Ye, Yongishifa, Pitramo, Ikelefem Media House. Way 22 Meneha, Uka Kombanga.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ish, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh?
A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Namibia. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day, where we break down the issues that matter to every Namibians. I'm your host, Michael Shvedi. Just yesterday, the Finance Minister, Eric Shafuda, tabled the budget statement or budget or national budget for 2026-2027 fiscal year under the theme People, Productivity and Prudence. Now, that sounds very noble, but what does it really, what does it actually mean for you and me, for the teacher in Katima, for the young entrepreneur in Oshakati, and for the pensioner in Opuo? So, our debt stands at over 174 billion Namibian dollar. Our deficit has widened and SACU revenue are down. Yet the government promises to protect social spending while tightening the belt. So the big question is, can we really have it both ways? Now, joining us to unpack all this is someone who understands the numbers, and what they mean for real people. So he is the vice chairperson of the Economic Association of Namibia, Mr. Josiah Hanoshike. Mr. Josiah, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Thank you very much, Mike. Good morning to all the audience.
All right, let's start with the theme first. People, productivity, and prudence. What message do you think the government is trying to send with these three words?
Well, I think from what I hear, it is really that, it is trying to obviously put people in the heart of it. That's why they have, spent a lot on social spending. And as has come through quite clearly in there, in fact, they've also increased the number of employees they're going to take, especially in the army, teachers, as well as healthcare. When we look at productivity, I think they're trying to be more efficient with the budget. They're talking about looking at a more efficiently spending the budget. If you look at capital project execution, it's around 70%. We look at total execution of procurement spent, it's about 80%. So if we're able to get to 100% or at least close to that, we will be able to actually deploy more funds within the economy. And then prudence really speaks to the fact that, unfortunately, they have not been able to collect as much tax revenue as the previous year. In fact, I think it's slightly down because of the economic conditions, especially in the primary industry. The gold, the extraction has not been as high, even though the gold price is high. Diamond, diamond prices are not doing very well. Therefore, they had to tighten the belt. And that's really what they talk to you about when it comes to prudence and spending prudency.
Yeah. Now, the finance minister says this budget is about, encoding restoring balance between ambition and affordability, between growth and stability. In your view, does this ring true for the average Namibian?
I think the way the government is right now, they're in a very, very difficult position. So they need to balance the books. I mean, as you saw, the budget deficit is widening. Tax income is stagnant. Therefore, you cannot spend what you do not have. And if you do that, you find yourself in a very, bad situation in the long run. We've seen many African governments having to go for bailouts, from the World Bank, IMF, and that puts me in a very difficult position to start with. So that's really where the government is, they were at right now. Obviously, lots can be done to improve the situation in terms of, increasing the tax base. But yes, that is the situation they find themselves in.
Yeah. So, talking about that, where the government is at now, let's talk about our debt. Our debt has crossed the 174 billion mark. How worried should ordinary Namibian be about this level of borrowing?
I think, if you look at budgets run globally, you find very few governments that actually do not run a deficit. So it's really how that deficit is managed that is what's most important. I think we're very capable people at the Ministry of Finance that are able to manage our debt, if taken at face value, the minister did indicate that over the next coming years, they are going to look to decrease that deficit over the years. But importantly, I cannot stress more than, this all emphasizes what we need to do is increase our tax base. We need to increase the number of businesses in this country and employees from which they can extract, taxation from. And without that, if we have a decrease in the number of employers, companies that is, or employees, that situation is going to get better. Obviously, with oil and gas industry, hopefully coming up as kind of, somewhat, improve the situation. But that's just one industry, which is also a non-renewable industry, which is going to run out. So in the long run, we must really look into diversifying our economy. That's the only way we are going to perhaps get into surplus in the long run.
Yeah. You just mentioned the budget deficit, which has been revised upward actually to 6.6% of GDP. So why is it growing? And when can we expect it actually to come down?
Again, the budget deficit is really a combination of two factors, right? We look at the income that is coming in from tax revenue, right? Less the spending, right? So if you did accounting, you know, if you are getting more, spending more than you are earning, obviously that will lead to a loss. If you, in fact, you can call a deficit a loss for a country, if it's a company.
Yeah.
So what they, again, so that's really where it's coming from. Again, as I mentioned before, tax revenue has been falling. As you mentioned, SACO revenue is down, diamond revenue is down, you know, extract gold revenue is down. So what has been going up lately, what I've seen is probably the income tax from individuals that's a bit up and some of the company tax. But at the end of the day, on a net basis, we are getting less money as a country.
Mm.
Now, there is pressure on government to keep on spending every year. As I said, they increased the public sector's wage bill by, they're going to increase by 5% this year, next year. They're going to employ more people because obviously we have a huge unemployment crisis in this country. So the government is now trying to employ more people.
Yeah.
And so,
Mr. Jishan, just quickly, just a commercial quickly, and then we get back to this. Okay?
All right.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know. You love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. Yeah. So, yeah, just maybe finishing what were, or the point you were making.
Yes. No, the point I was just making was that, to say that we cannot spend what we don't have. So government is stretched. It's trying its best. I think it was a reasonable budget in terms of expenditure. But if we want to do more, we need to increase the top line, which is the revenue for the country, and it means we need to have more industry in this country and more businesses that get taken tax.
Yeah. But maybe the other things that one looking at is the interest payment. The interest payment alone are eating up over 16% of our revenue. So what does this mean for service delivery in the long run?
Unfortunately, you know, once you take someone's money, right, mostly I see local bondholders, and they need to be paid and remunerated for the risk they're taking of giving money to government. And if you look at the structure of who the bonds, it's mostly pension funds. So actually many pensioners, who are funding government at this point in time. So unfortunately, that interest needs to be paid, to secure capital. And obviously, if the government wants to secure more capital in the long run, they will have to, to just pay that interest. It's unfortunate, and that is why, again, going back to the point of increasing revenue, that's the only way you're going to, reduce that deficit and be able to perhaps reduce the amount of government debt and reduce that interest spending in the long run.
Yeah. So you also mentioned SACU. The SACU receipt have dropped, and also the diamond revenues are declining. How exposed is our budget to these external shocks?
I think quite significantly. So obviously, I think I believe SACU revenue was 28 billion in the previous year. This year it was 23 billion. So it's quite worrying. Obviously, I don't have sight in terms of where the SACU revenue is going to go. My hope is we're going to get more funds in from SACU. But that's really the structure of the economy. Revenue, I mean, we've seen that, the holding company of De Beers, obviously we know De Beers partnered with the Canadian government to form NAMDEB. Basically is selling off the BS Anglo American, because they don't see long-term value within the diamond industry. Obviously, what we have seen are the synthetic diamonds, that have overtaken, in terms of demand over natural diamonds. Yes, one can argue that, natural diamonds are better than synthetics, but, especially in the world now where, maybe people are not as materialistic as they used to be in the past, they don't mind, getting their fiancés or their wives. Synthetics. But, So the long run trend for diamonds going forward is not positive at all. So yeah, so in that case, we probably need to diversify in the permanent industry in terms of the minerals that we are mining in the country.
Yeah. Well, maybe looking at the allocations now, the education got the biggest share of spending, about 28 billion for schools and training. Now that's a huge chunk of the budget. So, but the education faces shortages of teachers and resources. How do we ensure that this extra money leads to better classroom or better education instead of maybe simply disappearing in the system?
Very true. I think, I believe education is critical to the development of our nation. And I think this is the reason why Namibia, on many metrics, is doing very well. It's because we invest a lot into our education system, especially given our past and where we're coming from.
Yeah.
So I believe government should continue investing into that. But now it's really, when obviously knowing that we don't have a lot of funds available overall, it's really about efficiency, right? And not letting funds go to waste, in the system.
Yeah.
I believe they are going to hire more teachers. They are going to, they're also going to put a lot of more money into basically, renovation and construction of new classrooms. So, which is, I think, is a big positive.
Yeah.
But what I really hope to see is just more efficiency, and money not going to waste. And I think that is some of the challenges that government has overall, not only in the education sector, but across many ministries and agencies.
And similarly, the health ministry received roughly 13.1 billion, with clinics often understaffed and medicine in short supply. Does this budget fix those gaps?
I think with the staffing methods, I think they are going to get a lot more professionals from everything. As I said, what I've seen, the teachers, medical staff, soldiers and police are going to increase. So I think they're going to get that staff. But with medicine, I believe the issue is never big money. It's the efficiency of procurement in central medical stores that are, I don't know what's going on there. I think it should be looked into. But I think it's holding up a lot, in the nation in terms of healthcare. Because there's no way government allocates money to buy medicine, but somehow medicine does not get bought or runs out of stock. There's no management process around it. So I think it's deeper than money. It's really the efficiency of the system to procure medicine and distribute it where it's needed.
Yeah, and the pensioners will receive an extra 100 per month starting April. Is this enough, given the rising cost of living?
I think it's really a give and take, it's a trade-off. Probably more money should have been given to pensioners given the inflation and rise of costs, and especially the social pressure that's put on them, especially them having to take care of a lot of children during kids and extended family.
Yeah.
But ways right now, I understand the decision that was made by government. At least they got a bit of an increase. But with our current situation as a country, it was one of the trade-offs they had to make, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, and also speaking of the youth unemployment, the budget mentioned job creation projection from various projects. So how confident are you that these jobs will be materialized?
It's difficult, but if I had to be honest, the budget wasn't really pro-employment per se. It was more about consolidation, right? I'm not saying government doesn't want to create employment and jobs, but it was not the focus in this particular budget, right? So yes, there is going to be funds made available to your youth fund to fund youth entrepreneurs, which is great, right? Someone made a comment the other day to me saying, look, but not every young person wants to be a business person. Sometimes you just want to be an employee.
Yeah.
And I think that's also something that needs to be looked into. And that's really, again, as I was saying earlier, the focus of government, apart from spending money, I think should also be policy certainty. I know they mentioned they're going to try to, make sure that NIF, the FEZ policies, and as well as the Investment Promotion Act, is finalized in this financial year, so there's certainty for investors. And I think also the Petroleum Act should also be finalized, just also the oil and gas companies know what's going on in the country. And also just sometimes there's a lot of bureaucracy in the system. I think those are the things that governments can fix, and not spending money just but look for efficiency. And that will lead to more jobs in creating this country, more companies opening, and which can then absorb our huge unemployment numbers.
Yeah. Speaking of more jobs, small business and informal traders make up a huge part of our economy. And how does this budget support them? Did you see anything in there that helps someone running a market store or a small workshop?
Not really much. So there wasn't really much anything that spoke to that from what I saw, really. From SME perspective, maybe the Youth Development Fund has one aspect of it.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there isn't really much that was done by government. But I think there is, though, in the beginning, I think, of the speech, the minister did speak to trying to improve conditions for the informal sector traders and such. How that's going to be done, we will have to wait and see. But nothing really concrete in terms of government spending are going that way.
And the civil servant, the civil servant in grades 15 and 14 will get a flat 700 increase, while the higher grades actually get about 5%. Is this fair? Do you think this is fair?
I don't really know where those grades are, but I believe that 700 is probably more than 5% of their salaries. But if that's the case, then I believe that's fair, because they're probably going to get more than 5%, and then everyone else will get that additional 5%. So I think maybe that's fair. I guess it also keeps up with inflation. So I understand where that 5% is coming from. In fact, it's a bit above inflation. So I understand, even if you are working in the private sector, you also want the pay rise every year from your employer. So it's very much understandable, and I cannot blame government for basically, putting that in there. It's only fair.
Yeah. Now, the development budget, is so thin, and from last year example, some development projects were postponed in last year's midterm review to cover operation cost. Are we seeing the same thing in this budget, that road, hospitals and schools will be sidelined maybe to pay salaries and interest?
I hope not. From the minister's speech, I picked up that they are going to try to, basically be a bit more efficient with the project, because they were saying some of the reasons why some projects actually lost funding was because we were put in the budget, but then when one tries to fund them, they're not ready for funding, right? So what they have done now, they're introducing a project preparation, task force, I think it's going to be under the Ministry of Works, which is going to try to make sure that projects are well, prepared, costed, and make sure when they make the budget, they can actually be implemented. And they're also going to be using some agencies as well to try to make sure that certain infrastructure gets done and rolled out, quite efficiently. I believe they mentioned the Road Authority as well as the NHE. NHE will be prioritized to deliver on housing and road fund to deliver on certain roads. So that's a positive I've seen, although the capital budget in itself is very thin, because a lot of more money has been put into operational budget. So we are, unfortunately, I don't think a lot is going to be done in that space this year in terms of government spending on the economy.
Yeah. I think the other thing, there is a talk about reforming public procurement and stopping overpricing. How serious is this problem? How serious is the problem? And will this reform actually work?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But I think it is. I think it's a give and take in terms of where the seriousness of the problem is. But it is in certain cases quite, quite problematic, especially when there's collusion between perhaps a tenderer as well as some public sector officials who have power over that particular, bit. Yeah, but for me, the motive, when we talk about procurement, what's more important is that read in there is a reform around the code of good practice. Because there is a code in place that is supposed to guide procurement from local Namibians, especially those ones who are manufacturing, but it's highly followed. So now what they want to do is more stricter enforcement to make sure that we buy from manufacturers, even if it's a bit high price. Mm-hmm. You know, give me an example. Let's say, you buy, you import something from China, or let's say you import toilet paper from China, or or you buy from a local, I mean, special toilet paper. But the guy from Namibia is maybe 30% more expensive. Yeah. You now buy from China because it's cheaper, or you buy from Namibia, and actually support local jobs. That's maybe the trade for one also has to look at as well.
Oh, yeah. And probably the other thing is then looking at the global picture. With growth uncertain and commodity prices sometimes, you know, volatile. So how resilient is our budget to these external shocks?
I think when one looks at the source of funding, even for the budget right now, there's a huge emphasis now of getting funds locally instead of international. We've seen when we had the Eurobond in the past, because of how the currency really ran away with us, right now the South African rand, we probably got a euro bond at about 10, 11 to the US dollar, the Namibian dollar exchange rate. Next thing you know, you're paying off at 17, 18. You can see that above and beyond the interest you're paying on it.
Just to interrupt you quickly, just another one quickly, and then we will be back.
Okay, all right.
Great news. Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imbo? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. All right, just go on with your point. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
We're talking about...
We're just making reliance on foreign funding, which is reduced significantly. Obviously, with also other funding, I believe from US dollar accommodated from probably our development funding partners, which is obviously maybe not part of the budget, that could affect this. And also the government from IC, they've also going to give more government guarantees for certain projects. The various SOEs and government agencies and ministries will be able to basically get funding from, large development funding agencies backed by government guarantees. So that could also, pose a risk for us in the long run, especially when the currency perhaps, does not do well, goes against us.
Yeah. Jose, I know that you are very busy. But lastly, the minister said... It cannot be a business as usual. Do you see real change in this budget, or is it more the same?
I think the budget has not changed significantly from last year, but I think what needs to happen, and I always preach this, is we need to be more efficient in the spending. We need to basically execute. We can have all the best plans, but if we're not executing, it will be futile to a certain extent. If we're talking about business unusual in the budget, which is the same as last year, what can be unusual is actually implementing. And I hope that is what happens this year. So we're able to, basically make sure this budget serves Namibians and really helps, move our economy forward.
Yeah. And if you could give one message to the finance minister about this budget, what would it be?
Go to my last point. It's just to say that we understand that where the country is right now, we cannot spend what we don't have. It will be irresponsible for us to do so. But let's then be efficient in the spending. Let's make sure that we have policy certainty. So investors can come into this country, because what we government cannot unfortunately spend us to economic prosperity. It is private investment that will get us there. So we need to create a conducive environment for private investors locally and internationally to put their money in this country and create jobs. And that will be my message to us, sir.
All right. Josiah Anochinke, thank you so much for your time this morning and your really insight help us to understand what this budget really means for the nation and for us as our collect collective future as a nation. So thank you for having you this morning.
Thank you for having me, Mike, and thank you, audience, for and the listeners for having me as well. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right. Mr. Josiah Hanoshike, the vice chairperson of the Economic Association of Namibia. So yeah, giving us the download of the budget. So we would have liked to keep him longer, but he said he have quite a lot to do. So we only have about 20-25 minutes to talk to him. So we around quarter two, we will have another interview. Now we're going to talk to an opposition party member of parliament just to give us their perspective on the budget that will come at around quarter to nine. Make sure that you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, your reaction to our discussion with Mr. Josiah. So please do come through. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. Our telephone number for if you want to come through is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So either you react to our interview, or you just want to talk about the budget. So you're most welcome. So 08333-66091. So that's our studio line to come through and discuss the budget. How do you feel about it? So, all right, we'll be back after this.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafa Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E. Moyawa, or Tangoti Samweni, Anagashifa Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Taithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa Yokupiramo, Ikelefem Media House, Gwe 20 Pinomeha Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omukwashi pareki wimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma onara heta tuimu. Datunda tu heari jamano tano o aliaj. Igel FM, go high.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
A very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. And welcome. This is your favorite number one talk radio station in the land. And we're just looking at the Namibia's 2026-2027 budget. I just had a discussion with Josiah, who is also an economist. So, yeah, talk about the. The theme this year is the people, productivity, and prudence. Actually, what the government is saying is that we need to look after our people. So we need to grow our economy, and we need to spend wisely. This is unpacking the day. But the reality also. The reality is that we are working with the tight finances. Our national debt stands at over 174 billion Namibian dollar. And that's a lot of money we owe. The deficit, The budget deficit, the gap between what we earn and what we spend has grown to 6.6% of the GDP. So the government is really trying to balance between spending on important things and not borrowing too much more, as Josiah have mentioned. So, yeah, there are also good things. There are also good news, some good news. Maybe that we can focus also some of the good news that we see. What is in it for ordinary Namibian, the pensioners? If you are receiving a government pension, good news. It's good news for you. You will get an extra 100 per month starting April the 1st, 2026. So the raises, that raises actually the monthly grant to 1.6, 1,600. So every bit helps, and some people say, well, you know, every bit helps, really, especially with food and electricity prices going up. I think every bit help, you know. It would pay something. $100 would pay something. So with this civil servant, other good news is civil servant, government workers, listen up. If you are in grade, I'm not talking about school grade. I'm not talking about school grade. I'm talking salary grade. So if you are in grade 15 and 14, the lower salary bands, you will get a flat 700 increase per month, you know. And is that a good news or what? What do you feel about that? Those in higher grade, like grade 13 and above, will get a 5% salary increase. So, and next year, everyone from grade 15 to 1 get a 5% boost, you know. So, well, the government is trying, as he said, it's trying to, you know, to do with the little that it has, to do more with the little that it has. So, yeah, and what is the other good news? The other good news is students and also parents that have their children going to the higher to tertiary education. So the tertiary education remains subsidized. So the government has set aside 2.8 billion to cover registration and tuition fees for students at public and also private institutions. So that's a big relief. It's a big relief for families who couldn't afford university fees. So it is, it's also good news there. Yeah. What is other good news? Young people, the National Youth Development Fund receive, $257 million, this year. I think this was from the previous budget. This money is meant to help young entrepreneurs start business. Create jobs and build the future, you know, build future. So, yeah, but there's a catch there, you know. The money needs to actually reach the youth. It needs to reach the youth. Approval are happening, but there's a little bit of a disbursement. It needs a little bit to, I hear some complaint, you know, that it does, it's very slow. It needs to speed up. Okay, so there are some complaint from the youth that has been approved that disbursement it needs a little bit of speed up. We will look at some of other stuff as well. Let's see if we can get our second our second guest. Our second guest, and yeah, and see, and be able to, you know, to see where we are, to engage him on the budget from the opposition party perspectives. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
Omutiha wutekirwa kabuna ii matina omjo chikao shafata na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongote samweni anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House ngoe 20 imemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha wutekirwa kabuna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongote samweni. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe, yonge shifa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe 20 imemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning, Namibia. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day, where we break down the issues that matter to every Namibian, to everyday Namibians. Now, this morning, we are tackling the 2026-2027 national budget. The finance minister, Minister Eric Tafuda, tabled a budget themed people, productivity, and prudence. But here's what caught my attention. Our national debt has crossed 174 billion Namibian dollar. Interest payment alone are eating up over 16% of our revenue, while the deficit has widened to 6.6% of GDP. So I have to ask, who is this budget really serving? Are we seeing a real transformation or just more of the same? Is the government truly committed to economic freedom, or are we kicking the can down the road? So this time we are joined by someone who has been vocal about the questions in the National Assembly, and he is a member of Parliament for Namibian Economic Freedom Fighter, Honorable Longinus Ipumbu. Honorable Ipumbu, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, and good morning to the Namibian people.
Now, thanks for joining us this morning. The finance minister say this budget is about restoring balance between ambitions and affordability, between growth and stability. In your view, does this ring true for the average Namibians?
Thank you very much. On the onset, let me just send the appreciation to the current minister, Minister Eric Shafuda, for really committing herself to the cause of trying to transform our economy into real decisive action economy growing that is really talking to the lives and the living of our own people.
Yeah.
Already yesterday, from our anticipation, I said, if only the minister would focus on the lives and the living of our people, we will appreciate us having debts that we need to cater, but money was used in the interest of our people. So remember, the parliament has a duty, a functional duty to do oversight. And when we do oversight, so this has really shown that it was not a mere traveling just to go and see how our people are living, but it has really contributed to the tabling or to the formulations of what the minister has now tabled. That has really showed that she has listened to us. She has seen herself also. She has been on the ground, and she knows that our people are really in, they have been in an economic crisis, of which now we need to work together in the interest of growing a Namibian child. I already said yesterday before the budget was tabled that, look, we need to look at sectors that will really absorb, particularly our young people that are unemployed. Sectors that need to be empowered are sectors that should actually absorb our people into the market and be able to source or even to make incomes themselves and sustain the livings of others too. So we have an issue of qualifying and quantifying people just to go into the street. We must be very careful when we are doing that. You can't qualify masses and then dump them into the street where there is no market that can absorb them. So I think this time around, the budget has spoken to the real growing of our economy and thinking that, yes, we want to accommodate every Namibian to be able to enjoy the independence of this country.
So your party, NEF, has long called for economic freedom. So are you saying that this budget move us closer or move us any closer to that goal? You know, the goal of your party, that economic freedom. So are you saying that does this budget actually move us any closer to that goal?
This is what we have been anticipating. This is why we had to form economic freedom fighters, because we have noticed that the struggle is not finished. A political freedom without economic emancipation is meaningless. And therefore, if we have a leadership, an administration that is now opening up to say, look, you are welcome. Yes, we see there is this struggle that we need to work hand in hand. So by tabling such budget, it has really made us proud that, yes, our plea has been heard. And this is the struggle that we had been advocating for, that Namibia, look, political freedom without economic freedom is actually nothing. So we need to start looking at areas where we grow our economy, so we accommodate each other, so that we have even the living cost can be affordable to each and every Namibian. So it's a jubilation to us that this cause is being taken care of, and our people are getting to understand that we really need to drive ourselves into things that will push up the lives of our people into economic prosperity.
So our national debt stands at over $174 billion. Now, the government says it's managing this responsibly. What is your take?
Look, as much as we are making debts, If only these debts are made in the interest of our people, and it's manageable to those that are in the administration position, I think we are at a par road that the country is well taken care of, and those that are entrusted into those positions are really doing their best to make sure that no one is left out. So the only problem would be if we are borrowing, and we are borrowing just to allow others to embezzle into their own pocket and not really going down to make sure that the beneficiaries are the Namibian people that are suffering. So in this regard, we are saying if things are taken care of, if those that are in position of making sure that we borrow responsibly are not manipulated to allow our money to be embezzled. So I think we are at a par road that Namibia now, let's work together in the interest of making sure that we all survive from this economic crisis and make sure that Namibian child is taken care of.
Yeah. The other thing is the interest payment, which actually consume 16.4% of our revenue. Now, that's money that could go to services. Now, how does this make you feel as a leader?
Yeah, we understand this, but remember, everything that comes, it comes with a consequence. Remember?
Yeah.
So even though this is supposed now to go to the service, let's look at what is that is done.
Yeah.
So that this interest can be the way it is now, and us also referring it to say, look, we could actually have this interest to be also service other services. So we are saying as long as what we are doing is in the interest of the people, so also that interest, we must just take care of it, because it's a vice versa process where, on the other hand, we borrow in the interest of our people. And then, remember, borrowing, there is also an interest that is concurring, of which we really need to pay, so that we become good borrowers.
Yeah.
Not just to be borrowers who don't comply with the requirements.
Yeah. So, what do you think about the allocations where the social sector actually get more, you know, more funding than the rest, and then even the whole question of the operational budget is so huge compared to the development budget. What is your take on that?
Just like I said, as much as we are putting more on a sector that we think it will help our people in growing our economy, that we must just applaud it.
Yeah.
The only problem is when we focus on a sector that is not paying back to our people in order for them to be able to survive within this economic crisis. So it's for no use to target a sector just to improve it, but then it's not paying back, or it's not plowing back into the nation, so that the nation can actually walk out free from this economic crisis.
Yeah.
So, for example, look, we have a sector like agriculture. So we need to empower, to make sure that we have quantified the number in that sector, and produce more for this nation. It's a lesson learned from COVID-19. We had to survive just because of our neighbor country, South Africa. So we need to make sure that agriculture is a sector that we should concentrate on. Education, yes, we need our people to be educated. But then, remember, it will be a chaos quantifying the number into the street, and then with that quality, but then the market outside there, it cannot absorb them. Let's allow ourselves to have industries that can absorb. And then we make sure that our people are taken care of, and then they can sustain themselves in this economic situation that we find ourselves.
Yeah. Maybe let's look at, individual aspect within the budget. Now, you just mentioned about the youth. The National Youth Development Fund received $257 million, and NEF has spoken about youth unemployment being a crisis. Will this money make a real difference?
Yeah, this is something that we should appreciate. Mm-hmm. as the concept as it was initially conceptualized.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the only problem that we need to really address is how are we going to manage this?
Yeah.
How many people are going to cater? And how long will the process take? Because our people are easily demoralized when the process is taking too long.
Yeah.
And we welcome, in actual fact, the process itself. The concept itself is perfect. And it's really a sign that we really want to help our people from the way they are doing their things into tangible, practical things that they can assist themselves in terms of economic growth.
Mm.
So young people need money. And by giving them money, we must not take it for granted just to say, look, there's this youth development fund, we must give them money. We should also train them. There must also be that process of training them to make sure that they don't just get money and then go and mess up. Because at the end, we are going to find our young people in also crisis where they will be listed, gray listed, of not borrowing anymore. So we need to train them, we need to educate them, we need to form them to make sure that at the end of the day when they receive the money, the money they receive is really going to be used to the purpose that they have applied this money for. Otherwise, we welcome the initiative and we feel it will really help our people, particularly those that are really into businesses, that want to grow, that want to be seen becoming bigger, with bigger industries that can also absorb other young people from the market that have been there for years without work.
Mm. So, one of the major crises in Namibia is actually housing, you know, and after decades of policy promises, the housing backlog is estimated at over 300,000 units, and some 900 Namibians live in an informal settlement. Does this budget meaningfully actually tackle that?
This is a situation of win and win situation. That's why the way the budget was tabled is to look at all sectors to contribute to how do we better the living of our people, be it housing, be it education, be it food-wise. So the housing crisis, we must not just talk of the housing crisis. We must first talk of the land issue.
Yeah.
Land first, then the housing crisis.
Mm.
So our people are squeezed in together.
Yeah.
Without an opportunity to have a vast area where they can house themselves.
Yeah.
So look, a practical example, even we are here in Window. You go to Hakahana, Havana, you see how the people are living.
Yeah.
And we are saying, no, don't go beyond these boundaries.
Mm.
Just be there. So the issue of land, that's one we must address so that we get enough land, and then the administration then can start servicing and start building houses, affordable houses for our people. And you can build affordable houses and allow people to enter those houses when they don't work.
Yeah.
So what we need to do, these sectors must speak to one another. Education must speak to agriculture. Agriculture must speak to housing issues. So we can't quantify houses, and whereas the quality, I mean, we can't have more houses, and then the people that we want to occupy these houses are unemployed people.
Yeah.
So what we need to do first, let's see if we are educating our people. Let's have a market that they can absorb that educated masses. And then thereafter, these people, when they are being remunerated, they are able to sustain the houses that they are going to occupy.
Yeah.
So I think the budget now speaks to that no, we need to hold hands together so that at the end of the day, when we are addressing the issue of housing, who are we going to place in those houses? Are we going to place unemployed youth in those houses? Or are we going to start initiating processes of having good industries, good mining sectors where our people will be absorbed, and then thereafter they can then occupy those houses and be able to pay the rate and tax, of which it's a circle, so that the administration can also be functional. Otherwise, you build houses, you put people there, and then they don't pay rate and tax, and what will happen? It will be chaos. So we welcome really this budget, that this budget speaks to all the sectors that we need to improve our economic growth so that our Namibian people will start living a better life, a life that is really anticipated by all Namibians.
Yeah. So the civil servant in a lower grade get a flat 700 increase, while the higher grade get a 5%. Is this a fair approach? Do you think this is a fair approach?
I think it's a fair approach. Looking at the current situation, and in the long run, this is not the end. Look, as much as we have now the budget that we are welcoming is a good budget. So with that increase, of which we see also in another increase in 2027, 2028, I think it's a nice approach.
Yeah.
And as a nation, we shouldn't want to just to get more than what we had been anticipating.
Yeah.
So I think with what we see coming now, we should really appreciate and appreciate those that are standing in for us to make sure that we don't go beyond where our country will be dragged into a huge deficit, and then we will be unable to pay back, and then allow foreigners to come and control our economy. So I think this time around we should just appreciate what we have received. And give a round of applause to the Honorable Minister with the team that is really working 24 hours to make sure that our country is not in a mess, but in the right direction where it's supposed to serve its people and have our people living a better life.
Yeah. So there's also pensioners. They are also getting an extra 100 per month. So, and that brings the grant to 1,600. So is this enough for elderly to survive?
Just that we can't get enough at a time. But we should appreciate the $100 that was top up.
Yeah.
We should appreciate that, and in the long run also, we should really look at sectors that can improve this grant. We should not just look at government.
Yeah.
Government must branch out. We have enough natural resources in this country.
Yeah.
And in this enough natural resources must sustain the living and the lives of our people. We can't have mines being operated by foreigners and then they take the lion's share outside. We can't have our raw material just being exported outside without taking care of the beneficiaries of everything that is to be extracted from this country. It's our people, particularly the old people. Yeah. We're actually looking at the 3,000 that was spoken about.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, as someone who understands the financial backgrounds, I mean, it's so impossible. That was just a political rhetoric that was said by that time because it was campaigning time.
Yeah.
But the reality is the issue of increasing, it should not come as, why did you not give us 500?
Yeah.
So the economists are also looking at, will it be possible, or are we giving much so we drag our country into debts?
Yeah.
And debts are not good. We need to give an increase that is sustainable, so that we maintain the culture that will be inherited by the coming generation.
Mm.
So a country must not only function at the current stage, we must allow this process to continue even when we are not there.
Yeah.
So we can't just hire up the increase and then after 2-3 years you will fall because you are unable to pay back what you even owe.
Yeah. All in all,
we welcome the $100 increase.
Yeah.
The other 3,000 that was spoken about, that was political rhetoric, and just to make sure that people, yes, we are going to get a 3,000 grand. Please let's go and vote to the Swapo Party.
Yeah. So the tertiary, one noticeable aspect also allocation is the tertiary education subsidies continue with 2.8 billion. So this is good for student, of course. But is our education system producing graduate for the right industries?
Yeah, I've stated it, I think, from the onset that, look, as much as we want our people to be educated, we must be very, 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 very careful. Careful in the sense that first, let's have industries, let's have a market, and then when our people are coming, when our people are graduating, these markets that we have outside will absorb what we have qualified. Because the moment you continue qualifying quantities into the street, you are going to blame yourself at a later stage because these people will revolt against you.
Yeah.
They will come to you back and say, look, you are giving us education, but then after we have completed our schools, there is no way we can get employment. So I think the sectors must speak to one another.
Yeah.
So let's try to create industries, more industries to absorb. Let's go to agriculture. Let agriculture do much and absorb. Let's go to mining. Let them do much and absorb. And then when we are then now educating our people, we look at these sectors, these industries, these markets that we have outside, so that the education that we are giving, it's totally, totally, totally in line with these industries are doing. So that immediately from the graduations, you are already automatically being absorbed to get into that market and start helping the Namibian people and the Namibian country.
Yeah. Now, the small businesses and informal traders make up a huge part of our economy. So how does this budget support them? Did you see anything in there that helps someone, let's say, for running a market store or a small workshop somewhere in Ompumpu?
That is where our concern is. And I raised this issue, I think, a week ago. That, look, I think we are forgetting that we are a country where we need one another.
Yeah.
Ourselves as citizens of this country. We have a bank which is the Northern Bank of Namibia.
Yeah.
Which I think it fails to look at our own people. Because remember, as much as we look at the growth of the revenue that the NAMRA is taking or is keeping.
Yeah.
The huge number of our businesses that is contributing on a daily basis is this through this informal settlement. And I think that's where we need technocrats really to apply their common sense and say, look, if only we allow foreigners to come and dominate our market, our industries, we will end up with no one in our country that is able even to sell Kapana. Because immediately now, if things goes like the way we see them, you end up having a Chinese on the street selling Kapana.
Yeah.
And then what will our people be doing? So I think it's a matter of capacitating now our people. Perhaps DBN to go around, capacitate our people, see how they can easily access the funds.
Yeah.
And be able to upgrade their businesses. Because that's why we need to make sure that we allow this process to go as it is and empower our own people.
Yeah.
There's a practical example today, like in the north. We had those long businesses, people that we know, the likes of Punyo, the likes of Aupa, the likes of all those business people. Today, if you go to Oshakati, we have Indians.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say they are bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we have Indians. Yeah. Indians are wholesaling. Indians are the one on retail. Indians are the one again selling just around our people in the villages there. So I think there must be a policy that should really guide us as a country to say, look, anybody that comes to our country with however money, with however strategic plan on how to employ our people, must actually engage in wholesale.
Yeah.
And then allow our people to go and retail. I think that alone will be able to uplift the lives and the living standard of our small businesses that are really now suffering as we see them around.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a habit now. They have been chased around left, right. And it angers us because how do you want our people to grow? And imagine, a member that is selling Gapara, a member that is selling at Ompumbo, as you said, somewhere there.
Yeah.
This member has someone who is at university. And this member has to pay 15,000, 16,000, 18,000. So, but then you are chasing this person to go away. So what are we trying to do? Are we saying now the member must call back, retract what he has been doing so that this child can come down and suffer with the member? Or what are we trying to say? Because this member is unable already to get money from DBN, because DBN, then you need collateral, then you need that and that, then you need and that. Or you'll be told your business is not formal.
Yeah.
So I think there is a huge exercise that we need to do as a country and go down to our people, educate them, capacitate them, and ease the process of getting the funds.
Yeah.
If that happens, I think we'll really appreciate as a country and put our political differences aside and help the country to grow so that we can be welcoming everyone to Namibia, a Namibia that will be seen as a better country to live.
Yeah. So the minister said, there is something the minister said. He said the holiday is over for overpricing in procurement. Now, your party has been vocal about corruption. So do you see real teeth in this reform?
We have been talking about this procurement issue for quite a period, and not only our party but other parties, even the ruling party, they have seen themselves that there is a wrong procedure that has been dealt with.
Yeah.
And the procedure allows those individuals that have access to, one, corruptly award tenders to individuals that they know, or corruptly award tenders to even companies that are also members, directors, whatever, and so forth.
Yeah.
So I think for now, like I said, we are appreciating the minister of tabling a budget that speaks to the values and the norms and the living of our people. I think we need to close that gap.
Yeah.
So that we allow those that are with the interest of the Namibian people to live, to take up the whole process and make sure whoever serves on that body is serving in the interest of the country, but not the interest of a certain individual. So I think we welcome that, and we appreciate, and we will be the eyes of the minister. In case we see things are not still functional, we will get back to her and make sure that she go down and call those that are responsible to order to make sure that the benefits must reach the Namibian poor in totality.
Yeah.
And one thing more, The parliament itself has the mandate to do oversight, and will be the eyes and the voice of the budget that has been tabled yesterday in parliament.
Yeah. So the government is also introducing, now just saying that the government is also introducing outcome-based budgeting. So, and that sounds very good. Maybe not only on the paper, but will it change how money actually gets spent? This outcome-based budgeting.
Yes. As I said, look, I think we are moving to a place where we are realizing that a country, we cannot just run it now because we are given that responsibility to run it now.
Yeah.
We are at a place where we want to look at sustainability. That's why some of these things are coming out in a sense that we can't just look at or put what we must utilize.
Mm.
But we must also get back and do the reassessment as to have we really done what was supposed to be done.
Yeah.
And I think we should applaud now the current Eighth Parliament, the decisiveness of members when they go out and do their oversight. You can see the seriousness of wanting to know the penny that was sent, that was appropriated, the penny that was approved, was it spent as it was intended to be spent?
Yeah.
Or was it spent by the remitting or whatever? Because there's an issue where when money is being appropriated, we have these technocrats that they go and sit around and again they remit this money to other things.
Yeah.
Whereas us as members of parliament, when we approve, when we appropriate, it's based on what we have seen and we want our people to benefit and to make sure that they live out of the crisis that we have experienced.
Mm.
So I think that is in total a sustainable thinking. And this sustainable thinking should not have it should be a philosophical sustainable thinking,
yeah,
where we should not put an end to it, because we have a generation to come, and this generation to come should actually build on our philosophical thinking so that they also leave the process to others that will come. So I think we are in a right direction,
yeah,
and we really appreciate that the clarion call of economic emancipation is being heard now, and we will continue to push so that in totality we live in our economic prosperity,
yeah,
as a country. Yeah.
So the usual mantra, which is that from the eighth administration, the minister said it cannot be business as usual. But from where you sit, do you see business as usual continuing?
Here I would probably have two sides.
Yeah.
To say, look, every administrator would want to come with their own initiatives, own programs, and then they will name it as they wish to name them.
Yeah.
But remember, as an individual, you won't really make a difference when you don't call a working together chorus that will support your now notion of saying business will not be as usual.
Yeah.
So there are certain issues that really need us as a country perhaps to start walking off from.
Mm.
Like what we were just talking about, the procurement issue,
yeah,
that have really deprived, that have really strived our people. So that needed our own competency in terms of, look, we have a country that we need to grow.
Yeah.
We shouldn't just be there supporting certain individuals, empowering certain individuals, or even empowering foreigners while we have our own people.
Mm.
So I think business as usual, it's upon how one comes forth and wanting others to follow, or to follow the concept that he or she wants to put forth.
Yeah.
But by the look of things also, you could really see that the leadership of Excellency Netumbo Ndaitwa is really to the tune of making sure that Namibia economy grow.
Yeah.
And we could see that she wants to set or to leave a legacy. She is a woman for that matter.
Mm.
And we must support her.
Yeah.
The very first woman president who is really struggling. And you can see men might sabotage there and there, but leadership within her has been there with the experience from those years that she served in the government.
Yeah.
We are really seeing that business is not usual, and she really wants to make sure that things are done accurate and to the benefit of the Namibian people. And
yeah.
to make sure that all the resources of this country must actually be utilized and must actually benefit the lives and the living of our own people.
And your last message, maybe to Namibians who are listening right now, who feel the economy is not actually working for them. What would be your message?
Lastly, I would say there is never something that is easy when you are not on it. So what we need to applaud here is that by the look of things from the current budget that was tabled, we are moving from one stage to another stage.
Yeah.
And this stage are not to say we are declining, but you could see there is a growth in our economy. And we shouldn't just want things to happen one night.
Mm.
Let's be supportive.
Yeah.
Let's not always be the ones that are on the no side.
Mm.
When there is a good progress, let's applaud. And then let's support, because we have a country to build. We have countries that have fallen apart because people continue to be differing there and there.
Yeah.
So in this instance, I think it's a country, this is where we need one another.
Yeah.
As I said, the sectors must stick to one another. Technocrats must see, how do we grow Namibia? Let's not look at how do we grow our pocket.
Yeah.
Growing our pocket will cause chaos and instability in our country. I think it's the higher time that as a country now we should work together and make sure by 2030, as it was a vision, at least there is something that we have achieved. We have a population that is growing. We have living that is now skyrocketing that we see now. The current administration wants to ease it so that our people are able to live a normal life toward prosperity. So I think, all in all, let's work together as Namibian. Let's hold hands. It's our country. It's our motherland. And make sure that our people have been taken care of.
Yeah.
Our people are living a better life. And those that want to come and see Namibia and visit Namibia, to come and qualify Namibia as a country to live, a peaceful country, and a country with people with minds that are really building a country toward a developed country.
All right, Honorable Ipumpu, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Unpacking the Day. We appreciate your taking time to share your views on the budget that really affects every single Namibian. And thank you once again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mike, and to the entire nation. Thank you very much and enjoy your weekend.
Great. Yes, that's the Honorable Longinus Kalimbo Ipumbu of the NAF party. So when we come back, I allow you to have your opinion and your perspective and your reaction to our interview this morning. So we'll be back in a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
A very good morning to you and welcome to your favorite station and your favorite program, your favorite show, Unpacking the Day. So I'm opening up the line. I'm opening up the line for you now to come through and have your say or reaction to the interviews that we have about Namibia's 2026-2027 national budget. So what is your take? What is your reaction, even if you don't react necessarily to interview itself, but what is your take of the national budget? So our telephone number is Welcome back. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 30 minutes before we come to the end of our episode today of Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, we're talking about budget. Sometimes it's very difficult to talk about money when your own pocket is it's empty. So, yeah, I understand. I understand. Yeah. So, but what is your take of the budget? 08-888-666-091. Yeah. So, all right. So it's about the budget. We talk about the, earlier on, I was commenting on the pensioners, talk about the civil servant, you know, the good, what are the good news, talk about the students. And the young people, also good news for young people. The Namibian Youth Development Fund receive 257 million this year as well. So, yeah, we talk about that. Yeah, and housing, yeah, and the housing crisis is very real. We were just talking about it. Honorable Ipumbu also mentioned that the National Housing Enterprise has secured 1.5 billion to build about 2,300 houses over the next 3 years. So the Shack Dwellers Federations also built over 1,000, according to the from what the minister have said yesterday, have built over 1,000 unit last year. And but let's be honest, the backlog is huge. The backlog is huge and we need more. We definitely need more. And this 2,300 houses over the next 3 years, it's just a drop. in the ocean. So, but it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. Yeah. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Are you happy with the budget?
No, it never makes me happy, those things, because the representative is the representative. The national representative is the one that is make difficult, as I said. The hand of the greedy will be not be survived.
Yeah,
you will not be survived, because whatever the outcome of the numbers, it will not reach into the development.
Yeah,
those are the problems that we have. And on the look of how the people are understanding the greedy and the corrupt people, I think they are stealing. People are stealing far.
Yeah.
To understanding what is really making us to fail, and comparing to the number, to the money that we are having, $5.8 billion that we are always having in our hand, but it's never improving our lives. So it's because of the greedy. Because if you look at how they are planning, the budget is tabling, it sounds good.
Yeah.
It never reach. If you look at even the faculty, the school subject that is now on the university and all of those, it looks like it's a promising in the market, but never, once you qualified, you see that, wow, what are we fighting for is nothing. What is the government spending on me? It was a waste.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you look at what is now the member of parliament been saying, rising issues, for example, the housing, and comparing to what I was listening to you guys from yesterday, it look like we are not yet understanding what is crisis of housing.
Yeah.
Housing are there, as you are saying, 300,000 houses is available, but the price is not affordable.
Mm.
Those are the problem. And locating land is not an issue in Namibia. People are, you look at the one, because you learning from history to preparing future.
But the one of the, what was the study, the parliamentary committee on which one is that? It's an economic, which was saying that the municipalities are not availing land. They are not being serviced. There could be budget issue as well, but they are not serviced land.
But Mike, that is a political comment.
Yeah.
If you look at in the development, sometimes is way far from where the development is. Where the community are. If you look at those resettlement, you see that in the sewerage is already underground.
Yeah.
But the setup of those ghettos are not online to pulling the pipe.
Yeah.
To your toilet.
To your toilet.
Yeah. It's not there. Eh? You didn't teach people how to set up their ghettos so that they can get access into the development.
Yeah.
Or to the sanitation. That is where the problem goes. If you are in Ondangwa, I don't know other places, but let me talk about Ondangwa. If you go to Omashaga there, people are on the earth, you understand? So those are the on the earth, but if you look at how the construction is of their houses, it's totally messed up. The town plan, so those are now you need to teaching your people how to living in, and you cannot mention agriculture to solving the problem of housing. No,
yeah.
that is already something showing that you don't understand what you are talking about, because agriculture sector doesn't responding to the urban development. It's responding to the rural development, which means people are living on those compounds in the agriculture sector. So they are growing up some there. Then some of those agriculture farming region, they have even schools like Tunda, where they some they have access. Even if you go to Grootfontein, they have buses that they are taking those kids from the nearby farms and taking them to the town to attending schools.
Yeah.
So it's a totally different thing. I think people are not studying; they are just talking, but you don't understand anything what you are talking about.
Yeah.
So, and on the other issue of job creation, it's also something that is a challenge because people they don't understand. I'm not saying wrong here, but on the data that is on the or the information that is available on Namibian website, it's showing you that you don't understand anyway who is creating jobs.
Mm.
Because you are funding a wrong person, and that is what you cannot funding everybody into creating his own job.
Yeah.
In the sake of others, how will I creating? Because all the 35 from 18 or from 23 to 35, 36 are funded by the government.
Mm.
So you need to look at who are really the creator of the jobs. Yeah, the state bank, which is now development, you must also look at the sector or those SOE company that is are doing well with the service that they are giving to extend on the next level where they can even regional offices, regional services, health offices there.
Yeah.
So that you can create jobs through that.
Yeah. Is this not a paradox as well, or I wouldn't say contradiction, because if you look at your development budget, it's quite very thin. Wouldn't that where you really have a space to develop, to create jobs and expand your growth, your economic growth?
No, on the look of the plans, as I said, if you look at in the table, if you're leading the table in budget from Boamba Ela up to where we are today, there was a beautiful, how do you say, where they are tracing money into funding the local.
Okay.
Yeah, but unfortunately, those beautiful proposal that is a newcomer or new name known as a business person.
Yeah.
You don't know him, but you're finding the beautiful proposal with a name that you never know, even that if you ask in Rodriguez that who is the Mr. Mike here, they was telling you that no, we don't know that such as a person. But he said he wanted to setting up a business for mortgage $1 million to $20 million or something like that.
Yeah.
So you are already wasting because this person is not history of creating jobs. So those are the things that I said. You need to inviting the right people. That is there. Yeah, I'm not saying inviting people. I'm saying inviting somebody who you know have a group of people that is are doing very well in terms of advising their companies like Indongo. But don't look at the development. Development is, property development is already overcrowded.
Yeah.
So South African companies, they are here. American companies, they are here to bring up that. But the standard of the houses that are constructed by the developer in this country is very expensive. Because the deed that you guys were talking about, deed of title deed, that people want to own it. You cannot own the title deed if you didn't pay out. So you look at even the those houses, if you go to Oshakati, Nokere, people are not owning title, but they have been there for years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the things that if you don't understand title deed, what does it mean? You cannot get it for free. Yeah. But if you look at the history of this country since 1992, I follow it up very well. If you look at that in houses where the people were relocated from single quarters into Ombili or Kuliangava, Babylon, they have been putting in the earth. You understand? As I said, they come with the development because the development arrived first before they relocated those people. But they did never setting up a right. If you go to South Africa and you look at how the people are setting up their kambashus, you will be surprised because the development will be easier. And in 2010, I was also in Rwanda with the same situation that I saw Jay-Z, where I wanted him to putting up some good infrastructure because of cholera. They end up giving up because people are not. It's costing you more millions of dollars into to putting those people in the line.
Exactly.
So that is what I'm saying. Yeah,
they need it's a problem of many municipalities at this point.
Yeah, but the municipality are also not telling people, as I'm writing this story with Patrick Oroma just last night, that you don't blame these sharks that they are coming, that you're seeing today, because affluent-dependent people are flocking to Hindu. Look at the one that is repeating there for years. Yeah, Angambia, Mashaka, what. So when the people just from Angola, they come and live in those areas, they were never told that the town policy of living is like this.
Yeah.
We never teach. But you're finding a person that growing up in Mashaka is continually living that life of making noise, throwing things on the everywhere.
Yeah.
So that is, you're never teaching people how to live.
Yeah.
So that is what you are making you fail as a municipality.
Mm.
So Mike, let me not finish up the time, but I warn every Namibians that you don't understand in the house sector. Mm. You don't, that is the problem you people have. And the houses are already enough, even if you're blocking now the property developers that don't developing anymore because people are not buying.
Yeah.
So we want him to see first. Sell us what you are having in hand, so that we can see what we can come up. Because we don't want every time you are pushing those people for Gambashu to go deep in the jungle, So just for the sake of saying, the development is there because ShopRite is also here now. No, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
because man. I look at even in Johannesburg when I was in Johannesburg. I was living in Kempton Park.
Yeah.
And look at that. Kempton Park was also those houses, same as Windhoek West there or Shakati town there. They end up selling those houses and putting up a flat for development.
Yeah.
To accommodating more people. And that is what we wanted to say. Those people now that were located elsewhere for free, they must sell it back. And then you're building up a flat so that the people can live in a different life.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Mm. All right, it's your turn to come through and have your reaction and on some of the things that we touched through with our guest this morning. Earlier on, we have Josiah Anoshike, and also later on, our second guest was Honorable Ipumbu from NEF. So, good morning and welcome. What is your, if you are following, the discussion. So what have you picked up and what is that you want to discuss? Or we talk about the national budget. So wherever you want to jump in, you're most welcome. Whatever that you want to discuss, you looked at the budget yourself and there are maybe issues that you're not happy or things that you're happy about. So do come through and let's have a discussion. All right. So I'm pointing out a few aspects that I see. So in terms of jobs, there's this mass formalization program, which have created over 17,000 jobs last year. And the government also supported over 2,000 farmers through the agricultural programs. Well, the questions are these permanent, well-paying jobs or that may be something that we need to watch as things are unfolding. Some bad news, not bad news. We're talking about taxes and a cost of living. You know, when you look at tax and cost of living, and the bad news is that the bad news is for those, the sin that we commit. You know the sin tax. So the sin tax is actually the sin. I don't know why it's called the sin tax, because it probably that, you know, it's things that you enjoy, maybe things that you shouldn't be doing, you know, maybe that's why it's called sin tax. You know, we're talking about now the bad news for smokers and drinkers, you know, your wallet will feel it this time. So yeah, cigarette now cost, $23.58 per pack.
you know, up from it was actually $22.81. So, yeah, definitely you'll feel your pocket. You'll definitely feel in that pocket. Alcohol duties also went up. It went up by 3.39%. So, yeah, so that drink at the Shebeen will cost a bit more. So, yeah, that's one bad news. I think there was a reaction as well in the chamber. So when that when that was actually read, yeah, the tax changes is coming also. There's also changes are coming on the tax. So the government is reviewing income tax brackets. This could mean some relief for workers. It could mean that the VAT rules are being modernized, as we hear, and there is a talk of a tax incentive for business that invest in corporate social responsibility. So that would be good news. That would be definitely a good news. But even in our discussion this morning, there are big challenges ahead. Okay, this is not a smooth ride at all. So there are challenges ahead. We're talking about in terms of our debt. So we owe a lot. Interest payment alone are eating up, 16.4% of government revenue. That's quite a lot. That's 14.3 billion. 14.3 billion. So, from just interest payment. So, yeah, that 14.3 billion just to service debt. So, and that money that could go to, it's money that could go to school, could go to hospital, could go to, we're talking about billion, 14.3 billion. It's even more than any other, ministries or agencies money that were given. It's more than what other agencies and other owners have money they were allocated. So 14.3 is even more than the budget. It's even more than the health ministry. It's only education that's above that. So that's quite a lot of money that just goes poof like that. So I think the ministers, they are trying their very best to make sure that, yeah, the government, spent responsibly. So, as I said, that's a lot of money that could have been used for some other things, in our schools, in our hospitals, and maybe, improve your potholes in your town. Okay. So the other challenge I think ahead is the SACU money. It's actually down. The Southern African Custom Union payments that we share custom revenue with neighboring countries. It have dropped. And also we're talking about there was also diamond mining revenues are also declining. So that put pressure on our national wallet. So where are we going to get this money that we normally get it from these sectors? So yeah, that's a big concern. Maybe as Josiah was talking about, that we need to diversify our economy. And we need to start not just talking about it, being able to do that. So the other issue is, of course, the issue of global uncertainty. The world economy is shaky. And growth is very is slow in advanced economies. So commodity prices go up and down. So yeah, we need to be prepared. I think we definitely need to be paid to be prepared. So there are also reforms on the way. There are also a couple of reforms on the way. The minister promised changes. One is on outcome-based budgeting. The outcome-based budgeting. So the government department will have to show, as I think the Honorable Ipumbu mentions, the government department will have to show what they actually
achieve with the money they get, not just how much they spent. You know, show what have you done with the money that you got. So, and that's also an oversight that would be able to help, you know, maybe control. It's also a controlling measure to be able to know what have you used the money. Was it what it meant for? Or as he's talking about technocrats are the ones sometimes, you know, decided to do something else than what the parliament has approved. Yeah, so yeah, it could be also a controlling measure on the budget. So that's another reform that is coming up, the outcome-based budgeting. So the public procurement reform, I think there is a push to stop overpricing and make sure the government contracts are fair and transparent. Yeah. So on paper, sometimes you can have all these reforms on paper, but you know, reinforcement, as also Ipumbu mentioned, implementation is the challenge. So the minister said the holiday is over for overpricing. You know, hopefully we'll be able to see that in practice, because it's going to save us a lot. So it's going to save us money. That money can be used for something else. So it's actually doing more for less. That's what the minister trying to achieve here, doing more for less. Yeah, the other reform, which is exciting. This is something that is exciting, I think. The instant payment solution. You know, that would help many. Our pensioners, our community, and rural community will soon be able to receive, you know, government payment digitally. That's exciting. I think I'm very, very excited about that one. I'm also, you know, growing old. Probably I will, you know, start getting my pension. I don't need to go in lineup. No, there's still some years to go. Okay. So, yeah. So that would be a very good innovation or a new reform, reform. So no more long queues and travel to collect grants. That would be a really change. Yeah. So the FATF grey list, that was also mentioned. Namibia is close to exiting the international financial watchdogs grey list. So this matters because it affects our reputation as a country and also how easily we can do business with the world. So I think the government has done well in really addressing all the things that they were asked to address. So, and as David have said this morning, it's not a guarantee that you will stay, you know, if you move up, if you get off the gray list, it's not a guarantee that you will actually stay there if you don't continue, you know, doing what is required. You will go back. You will go back to the gray list. Yeah. So, yeah. What else? You know, the budget is about, you know, as we hear, it's about trying to do more with less. I think that's the theme. Not really the theme, but this is what the minister trying to communicate. Do more with less. Do with what you are given. Yes, we know you need more money to do many other things. So we know we have so many plans that we want to do, but this is how much we have. This is the money we have, and do more with what you have. So the government is protecting social spending from this budget. They are protecting social spending. We see education, health, pension. So while also trying to get our debt under control. So, well, we're trying. But one thing that we can see, it's actually keep growing. You know, it keep growing. We see the measures that the government tried to put in place, but is it working? Is it working? I think that's the question. Because actually it's just growing and growing and growing. Okay. So, yeah. So there are no, big handouts. So, but there are no harsh cuts as well. So really, except education. That's understandable. Yeah. It's a tightrope walk. It's a very tightrope walk. And, the real test will be, as we said, the real test will be implementation. And that's our biggest disease. Can the government deliver houses? Can the government create real job? That's not only a responsibility of the government, as we heard from our guest as well. So can the government spend money wisely? So that's what we will be watching from unpacking the day. So, yeah, that's your budget summary. I think I'm just summarizing up of what is in the budget, and now what is our time? Oh gosh, it's 59 minutes past the hour of 9. So yeah, that's what we have for you this morning. It was a budget day. Someone is coming in. Let's just have 3 minutes. You get only 3 minutes. Good morning.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to add up on the debt.
Yeah.
So yeah, the money we got is the money we are using and get profit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is not a big issue.
Mm.
So the 14 million that we are paying as interest is a profit that we are making from our national project. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, in that way.
Big, yeah.
Well, but you can. Yeah, I get your point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get
because
your point.
There is no way. There is no way for us into reaching that 5.8 billion.
Yeah.
U.S. dollar without getting any hand.
And you're right.
Yeah, because if you say you can waiting up to 58, look at our mineral resources. It's not on our hands.
Mm.
How do you expecting us to get money and pay and buy it back?
Mm-hmm.
That power we cannot. Yeah. So we have been working on that because it's a guarantee, it's a collateral to us in that we have mineral resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. The country is rich, but it's not raising its own money. So you have to go to those guys and follow the what. They are attempts.
Yeah.
So that is not a big issue. It's not a national panic for that. No. If you want him to do a project and go to the bank and or go to a friend to lend you money.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
All right, thanks. So all right. And basically that's bring us to the Friday episode of Unpacking the Day. And let me thank my guest this morning, Mr. Jesaya Hanashike, and also Honorable Longinus Ipumbu, for making time to talk to us and give your view on the national budget. So thank you for those who participate, and that's bring us to the end of our show this morning. So let's do this again next week on Monday, on your favorite station here, Eagle FM. Yeah, let's, we have another schedule. We have another, appointment tomorrow at 11 to 1 o'clock. Make sure that you join me on Mind Matters. So from me, Michael Chiavelli, have a great weekend. And it's also the end of the month. So make sure that you take care of yourself in a way that is more, more decent, appropriate. Yeah, so those who are calling now, you're absolutely too late. So I'm handing over to Dade France to take over coming up with Kutha Mosha. Good listening to the programs that are coming your way this morning. All right. Bye for now.